Well, in Genesis 17, as I mentioned, we see the introduction of El Shaddai, God Almighty. And you know that it's been 13 years since God has spoken to Abram. At least we don't have any record of him speaking during the life of Ishmael, which has been going on this last 13 years. And we all know that that was a product of the flesh that was not really of God. And God allowed Abraham and Sarai to go through their fleshly plan. But it basically would be the kind of thing where we read in the Psalms, God gives us his, he doesn't hinder us really if we want to just settle for his permissive will, but it says what? He sent leanness into their souls. And so I'm sure that Abram and Sarai have had a lot of strife in their household. We know that the whole time, once Hagar became pregnant, it says she despised Sarai because, you know, of course, in that culture it was so horrible to be childless. And when they've been trying their whole life to have children, and then as soon as Abraham gets together with Hagar, they have a child, it's obvious it was Sarah's problem, not Abraham's problem, it would seem. And so now God is speaking to him, so he introduces himself, doesn't he? He says, I am El Shaddai, God, the mighty one, Shad, the breast, the all sustenance, the loving care, even as a mother. I am the almighty one who provides all things. Walk blameless. And so you go, wow. You haven't given me an awful lot of instruction there, Lord. Just walk blameless, right? But notice, if you would, as we go through these scriptures here, there's 15 times or more in this Abrahamic covenant where God is making his promises of what he's going to do. And because of what he's going to do, we have that promise of his sufficiency. So, question, are you presently experiencing something really, really big in your life that you just can't quite seem to get over or to get by? And it seems to be holding you back. A kind of a real thorn in the flesh, so to speak. It may not be sickness. It may be emotional or something else, maybe financial. And you think, if I could only get past that thing, man, my life would be great. I could focus on ministry so much better, but I just can't seem to get victory in that area. Well, do you believe that God is faithful? Do you believe that he's always faithful? Do you believe that he's going to lead you through this difficulty all the way or not? How about this question? Are you sure your name is written in the book of life? Amen. Well, wouldn't you think the assurance of your name written in the book of life a lot bigger deal than just asking for help to get through this problem you've got right now? But oftentimes I think we don't doubt that we're saved. We don't doubt that our names are written in the book of life, but we have doubts that he's going to see us through this thing that we're in, right? So we're going to a minor thing and really focusing on that and saying, God, I don't think you can do it. I mean, I just don't think you can do it. I've been praying to you. I've been doing everything that I think I can do, and things aren't getting better. In fact, they're getting worse. And since I really stepped up my prayer life, I see things really getting a lot worse. I don't understand it. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, but it kind of happens to us, doesn't it? But how thankful are you really that we have a covenant-keeping God? Isn't that awesome? God is good. God can never go back on his word. And when he promises these things to us, we have that assurance. Now here are these I wills that he made right here, or at least some of them, in the Abrahamic covenant. Verse 2, of course, verse 1, he says what? Walk blameless. Be blameless. And now in the very next verse, he says, I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly, Abraham, or Abram. And then in verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful and I will make nations of you. Now he's changing his name. He's going from exalted one to father of nations. And Abram is now Abraham, and Abraham now has a higher calling, really, father of nations, rather than just exalting himself as an individual. And in verse 7, he says, I will establish my covenant between me and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant to you and your descendants. Now, are you a descendant of Abraham? Absolutely we are, spiritually, maybe not physically, but spiritually we are. And so this applies to us. We have that everlasting covenant with us as well. And then in verse 8, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of Israel, which you are a stranger, all of the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And so we see the promise is not just exactly to the Jews only, but it's to everyone, really, who follows him. And then on into 16, now he's talking about Sarai. I will bless her. And here he says, I will give you a son by her. I will also give you a son by her. Not Hagar, but by Sarai. Sarah now. And I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. So we got a father of nations, and we have a mother of nations, right? So their position has changed now because of this covenant that God has made with them. Then God says, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him, with Isaac, for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. So we have the same covenant being made with Isaac that was made with Abraham. And then a little later on in Genesis, we'll have a reference to that before we're done. We have a reference, he'll make his covenant with Jacob as well and his descendants. Well, what about Ishmael? I mean, he was Abraham's son. And Abraham, when he said, oh, his son, he said, oh, Ishmael. But the Lord did recognize Ishmael as his son. In verse 20, as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. So these are the I wills that God is going to do in this agreement with Abraham. And Abraham now is to walk blameless. So how about you in your walk? Can you see the enablement by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life that will enable you to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, that you can love others as Christ has loved us? I mean, in our flesh, there's no way we can do any of that. But he didn't say do it in your flesh. He said die to that, right? Die to your flesh. So maybe in your problem with this thorn in the flesh, or maybe your big problem, if you have one right now that you can't get over, maybe you're looking at your own means to try to solve it. Maybe you're looking at your own agency. And nothing he tells us to do, we can really do in our own means, in our own strength, in our own agency. We have to rely on him, right? He says, go make disciples of all nations. We can't make a disciple of anybody. He works through us. We can't save anybody. He can work through us. But we need his power, don't we? We need his enablement. So, question, was God faithful, and is he faithful in all his covenants with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Was he? Was the Messiah born? Did the Messiah come through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David? Absolutely, as prophesied. He is faithful in every single aspect. And so, as we close with some of these verses here, to Jacob he said in Genesis 28:15, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I've spoken to you. To Exodus he said, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. To Joshua he said, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, Joshua said in his old age, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls, listen to this, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Now, some of us are not quite as old as Joshua, and some of us are, but can you not say that as well? Has God ever failed to work out all the good things which he has spoke concerning you? All have come to pass for you, not one of them, not one word of them has failed. Zephaniah 3:5, the Lord is righteous in our midst. He will do no unrighteousness every morning. He brings his justice to light. He never fails. Hebrews 13:5, which is basically quoting Deuteronomy 31:6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. How does that fit you? Who's content with things that they have right now? Who's really striving to get something, maybe a bigger car, a bigger house, or a bigger something, or maybe a smaller one, I don't know. But anyway, you're not very content with what you have. Well, we should be with content, maybe not in our spiritual state, if it's not where you want that to be. But as far as possessions, Paul said, I've learned to be content in all situations, right? And then he goes on, for he himself has said what? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what God has said regarding all his children. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can you appropriate that? And then Romans 8:32, he, God, who did not spare his own son Jesus, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So if he saved us while we were yet sinners, because he loved us, and now we're walking with him and we see him more clearly than when we were first saved, and we're trusting in him, does that mean he's going to let us down more frequently? I don't think so. So walk victoriously. Walk victoriously, not in your strength, but in the power of his might. Father, we thank you for these verses. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are a covenant-keeping God. And we thank you for your manifold promises, and that we see in your word that you have kept them, are keeping them, and will keep them. So Lord, lead us now in this time of prayer as we appropriate some of these promises, as we pray for the church, as we pray for those who are proclaiming the gospel, as we pray for the lost, as we pray for the believers, as we pray for however you would lead us to pray this morning, Lord. So lead us now by your Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.